We got them Friday feels here today. We thank you so much for being with us. Jason and Chris just completed their 25-minute pre-show routine.
We need that longer intro on Fridays.
It takes us a while. It does. It does. You're usually doing it through half of the first conversation that we got going here. Welcome in. Thank you so much for being with us. 10 days away from Christmas. Chris Verlotte, have you gotten all of your shopping done?
Of course.
You got it all at ProWrestlingTees.com, huh?
Yeah, I got it all.
There you go. why that website doesn't endorse this show yet is beyond me.
At least Chris.
But, right?
Yeah. Like, he supports them heavily.
Pro Wrestling Tees or a soccer jersey. Or kit or uniform or whatever. I don't know what the proper terminology is.
It's a shirt, jersey, whatever.
Oh, it's
jersey.
A shirt? Oh, a jersey.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. I don't know. Yeah. Well, we got a packed show today. We hope you could stick around. There's some incentive to stick around, by the way. If you're listening on the KHTK app, we'll describe that. We'll lay that out for you here in just a minute. Are you listening on the app?
Oh, and hi, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And hi, men.
Yeah.
I mean, and women. Does she ever say hi, women? Or
She should.
She's not very inclusive, that Amy. No. I think she just says, and hi. She says, and hi, men, to us.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome into the lowdown. We're doing everything we can to avoid talking about the Sacramento Kings last night. So, Will Graves, he covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Associated Press. Not sure if you've heard. Got a big game this weekend. We're going to talk with him in about 27 minutes or so. He'll be with us at 12:30. We're going to talk a lot of NFL today because, really, NFL playoffs begin tomorrow.
We're here. Yeah. We're basically there. Crunch time now, right?
The NFL playoffs begin tomorrow, and you might be particularly interested in our guest at 1 o'clock. Drew Davidson, Star Telegram, covers the Dallas Cowboys. We've got the Cowboys and the Raiders in Oakland on Sunday night. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings, as he does after every single loss. Not every single loss. He just happens to be on, and they lose the night before.
We can't time it.
We can't get him after a win against the Warriors. We can't get him after
after they beat Phoenix the other day. That'd have been perfect.
Couldn't get it. No.
Travel day.
Had to travel to Minnesota. By the way, they're still sitting in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's cold there.
It's not a good look. Nope. I'm sure they're thrilled too.
Yes.
Listen, guys, would you rather stay in Minnesota for 3 days or go to Toronto?
Toronto.
Yep.
Coach is from it's coach decision. I'm from Minnesota. Got family, friends. Sorry. I win on this one.
We're staying here. Garrett Temple will be with us at 2:30. Jason Ross has some sort of mystery game, and I'm being as completely honest with you as I can. I have no idea what this is.
I've left it a mystery, but it's going to be something that you're going to enjoy.
Okay, that's coming up at 1:30. We're all going to find this out together, whatever Jason's mystery game is. That's coming up at 1:30. So as I said, we've got a busy show today. We're going to be giving away tickets to the NCAA doubleheader, family four-pack of tickets to see Kansas versus Samford and Sac State.
Stingers up!
Versus Portland December 21st at the Golden One Center. We got an amazing response to our first little foray into social media contesting yesterday, and it was awesome. The response was absolutely incredible. And so we're going to keep that up here today. So that, and if you weren't with us yesterday, if you're listening on the radio, great, man. We really appreciate it. But to win this contest, you got to take part a little bit because people on the app, they don't have, there's a delay. If you're listening on the app or you're listening on KHTK.com, there's a little bit of delay. So they're always at a disadvantage in terms of winning tickets. And this has been a pretty hot ticket. There's a lot of Kansas fans. Obviously, Stanford's not too far away. Chance to see the Hornets. So if you want a screenshot, you listening to the lowdown on your smartphone or whatever it is.
On the app.
A couple people took selfies with their earbuds in at their office, listening on KHTK.com. All of that works. If you entered yesterday, you're still entered because we believe that you listen every day. That's just our mentality. We have to believe that. We believe you listen every day, so we're going to throw, if your name was thrown into the hat yesterday, it's thrown right back into the same identical hat today, and you're going to have a chance to win. Everybody is welcome to take part in this. Search KHDK in the App Store. Also, can I take 2 seconds to thank the people who have rated the show, rated the app, I should say. A lot of people have been kind enough to write really nice reviews and have mentioned us by name, which leads us to believe that you kind of play along with this, man, and we really appreciate it. That show gets a lot of reviews. That app gets a lot of reviews, and I can't stress this enough. that helps us.
Yeah.
It helps us when you sit down with conversations with your bosses. It makes us look good. And you guys did it with the podcast and you did it here with the app. And I just want to make sure you know we're really thankful for that.
I got to tell you, last night I laughed. I haven't told you this yet, but during the Kings game, I don't even know what point. It's fourth quarter, let's say. So 6 o'clock at night last night, somewhere in there. There's a text that comes in on the text line. Hey, J-Ross, any idea when D-Lo's giving away those college basketball tickets? And I thought, boy, that is the ultimate delay on the app. I mean, like, we joke about the delay. I'm like, are they just listening now? He's already done that for today, but, you know, tomorrow you can.
Well, what was great is we did get some, I think Anna, who reaches out to us pretty frequently here on Twitter, she sent us a message. It was like, I'm 5 hours late, but I'm listening. Okay. And it's like, no, you're in.
You're
like,
never late.
You're absolutely count. You're never late.
Yeah.
Twitter handle, at JasonRoss1140. I am at Damian Barling. You can tag one of us, both of us, however you want to do it, but you will be entered to win those tickets. So just take a screenshot of you listening to the lowdown there on the app, or take a selfie at your desk, and we will get you entered to win these tickets. We're going to give them away at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, right before we get into our Friday 5. So you got 2 hours to do it, all right? Right before the Friday 5 at 2 o'clock, and about 30 minutes before Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings joins us. I stalled 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I stalled 8.5.
You got a break?
Well, it would be a whole lot better than talking about what happened in Minnesota last night. Like, that game, what cracked me up, man, is I'm like, there comes a point where you don't really want to pay attention to what's happening anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm flipping back and forth. And the Kings game goes to halftime, by the way, and I threw a Twitter temper tantrum yesterday. The Kings game goes to halftime, and I flip over to Indianapolis, the football game, in Denver, just in time to see, was it Brandon Williams, essentially get knocked out.
Yeah.
Like, literally knocked out. I mean, in that game, Paul, and that was a weird one, because you could see a direct, it was like top of the helmet, and he crumbled and tried to get up, and the training staff was like, no, like, get down. And then they, you know, mobilized them, and it went from there. And I'm looking at this like, every freaking game we watch,
yep,
we got to see this. So I threw a temper tantrum last night. I apologize to the handful of people that follow me. Makes me cranky. Flipped over to the Cavs and Lakers. Yeah, salty. Salty for sure. Flipped over to the Cavs and Lakers a little bit for...
That was fun.
It was all right. Yeah, it was all right. We'll talk about that. But yeah, go ahead. What do you
Kings?
Got?
It's funny because
I got nothing.
Yeah, two things I feel like are interesting from the Kings game to talk about.
One more thing. Grant, again, you stop paying attention, and I hear Grant say, boy, this game's getting out of hand after the Pacers. It was like a 30-point game at that point. I was like, so you're telling me.
It wasn't out of hand.
You're
at 24.
When it went from 27 to 30,
yeah,
that it just got out of hand? I started laughing.
Well, what's weird about that, that's actually one of the things. We're now measuring their losses, I guess.
This one's getting out of hand, guys.
I don't even know how to say it. Like, the Toronto game they just lost at home, they were never down as much as they were yesterday. But I felt like they were worse, if that makes sense. I didn't feel that they were awful yesterday, but what does it matter?
Really?
I honestly didn't. I felt like they got annihilated by a really good team. Well, a good team. I can't say really good team. I honestly didn't. It was a 7-point game, middle of the third. Then they had a hideous run. 13-0. Now, I'm not trying to soften it and say they were good. It's weird. I don't know if that – maybe you didn't
feel
that
way. It
is weird.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're measuring bad losses, right?
What did you think they did well?
Well, they shot the three well. They took the most attempts. I felt like they wasted that. They didn't defend well at all.
No.
Maybe
that's why
– there was no resistance.
Like, none.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I feel like, no, there was nothing good about this. But
I didn't feel like they threw the ball all over the gym. I didn't feel like they were totally out of sorts. But, again, they lost. They lost handily. They never had a chance to win. That was one thing. The other observation kind of goes off a conversation we had yesterday, and we basically have had a lot of – even with Alan Horton, the voice of the Timberwolves yesterday. I felt the best players yesterday were, in no particular order, Costa, Z-Bo, and George Hill.
High probability Costa was listening.
Yeah.
He heard us. He heard us having fun with him yesterday.
But three veterans.
Mm-hmm. No, but we don't. No!
Right. We
don't
develop.
Want that.
Got to play the young guys.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, just yesterday. It's not always been, but the most consistent guy by far has been Z-Bo. George Hill hasn't been, but he's got two good games in a row. Costa kind of gives you what you expect, but I don't know. It just, I love Frank Mason. He didn't play that well. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox got banged up in the game. Scal started, did nothing. So it's just interesting that, and some nights the rookies are fine. I just didn't think they were very good yesterday.
I'm debating on actually saying this out loud because I thought it last night. This is going to piss a lot of people off, but I believe this to be 100% true. Lonzo Ball is miles ahead of De'Aaron Fox.
Uh-oh. I'm gonna put my helmet on and go stand in the dark.
I'll take the full wrath, but I watched them both last night. And look, De'Aaron Fox was tough because he left the game with he banged knees, I think, with Karl-Anthony Anthony Towns or something. At least I think it was his knee. Could have been his quad. I'm not really sure.
Miles ahead, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see some? I know you didn't get a chance.
No, we had it on. We watched a lot of it. He's a gifted
really
passer.
Good.
I told you he could see the floor. His shot is broken. I get it, but he still made some shots.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a stat for you, by the way. And this is where De'Aaron Fox is significantly better than Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball has not scored in the fourth quarter of six straight Laker games.
Is that right?
Yes. Laker games he hasn't scored. Now, granted, he doesn't score a lot, period.
Right, he does other things.
He hasn't scored a single basket in the fourth quarter of a Laker game in the last six games.
That's pretty crazy.
That's amazing.
But he sees the floor. He passes to guys. And De'Aaron, I think, will end up being fine. But we said it the other day. I mean, I think Mason is ahead of him at the moment. And, again, we're still talking about where can they get to. And I think Lonzo Ball is going to be absolutely fine.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I think he's going to be more than fine. Yeah. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with that shot,
right?
But because now you're flirting with the idea of teams playing 4-on-5.
Yeah, just playing off.
Yeah, because you don't have to guard.
But I saw him make a couple threes yesterday.
A couple. Yeah, he did. And again, I want to get back to the Kings. But what I was thinking is, and I thought of this last night, and didn't know if this was the appropriate time to share it or pose this question because last night was just such a bad game that it's hard to get a feel for what would have happened if the game was closer and what Dave Yeager would have done.
Yeah.
When you watch the Lakers, and I'm going to compare these two teams because they're both young. When you watch the Lakers, is it fair that when you feel like they have a very clear-cut direction? They are young, and that's it. That's mm-hmm. the end of the story, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I feel like it. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you say about the Kings? Like, if I said, Jason, on the Monday edition of the Locked On Kings podcast, or on the Monday edition of the Lowdown, mm-hmm. or both, you have to come on the air and describe the direction of the Sacramento Kings. Could you do it?
I think my best answer would be what we kind of said before. They're trying to develop the young guys while playing the veterans, giving them the best chance to win.
So can I borrow you mentioned Alan Horton. Can I borrow a line mm-hmm. from him, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves? Yeah. Can you serve two masters? Or maybe in the Kings, maybe three, four?
Right.
Like, how many masters are they serving here in Sacramento?
Well, the offshoot of that is, are the Lakers, kind of going to your other point, are the Lakers' young guys farther along? Kuzma, Ball,
yes,
Ingram?
I think so.
Okay. And so they're comfortable.
But is that because they're playing?
That's a great question.
And that's
what people are wondering.
You're looking at the same text line than I am, and you're seeing, you know, the tech, you know, there are people that are frustrated with the amount of minutes that the vets play. Look, you mentioned the best Kings players on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The best players on the floor, I don't know how many Timberwolves you would name before you got to a Sacramento King. You'd at least name five, because the five starters were better than any member of the Sacramento Kings. Zach Randolph might be an exception there.
Yeah. They would maybe start him over Taj Gibson. Everyone else on the Timberwolves, no one on the Kings would start in the Timberwolves.
Okay.
With the exception of maybe Z-Bo.
So you could have gone Washington Wizards at the Golden 1 Center and played all of the young guys. You could have gone, retirement home and played all the old guys. I don't think the result was going to be different last night,
you're right.
I don't think.
Right. But, you know, we've recited that Washington game, and I think I would like to see it. Maybe fans would like to see it. Maybe the coach doesn't want to see it. They did not play well. The one Washington game we saw where it was really the kids, like we say, the young guys' opportunity, I wouldn't be mind seeing it again. Try it again. That was one I thought they were put in a spot to fail because Washington had a trip out here that they felt they let some games go, and they took it out on the Kings. I don't know. Mix in, can they try the young guys against Brooklyn next week on the road? Can they try the young guys at Phoenix? Would have been a good game to try. That's a young roster.
Yeah.
They put them in a tough spot in the one game they really committed to it. It didn't work, but that was once.
But sure, but I'll go back to that game, and I'll go back to our show and say, because there was a strong – that's when the De'Aaron Fox – start De'Aaron Fox movement was strong. Now I feel like it's the start Frank Mason movement that's strong. But at that time, you know, barely 2 weeks into the season maybe a little bit longer because the season started earlier, there was a start De'Aaron Fox movement. And we posed the question before it happened. If you're Dave Joerger, do you throw him out there for the first time against John Wall to see how he does?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And I think he went with the – I know a lot of Kings fans who went to the game were frustrated, and even those who didn't were frustrated with the rest thing.
Right.
But I felt like that was a bailout for not making it look like George Hill was being benched in favor of De'Aaron Fox.
Probably.
And, that's just what I'm going to believe.
Yeah.
It may be totally wrong, but that's how I'm going to see that Washington game. That's what he did. That's how it went. And I'm with you. Why not throw him out there a time or two and just let him play?
Yeah.
And see how it goes.
Similar to the end of last year, right? When once they traded Cousins and they still had Tolliver and Temple and Collison and Aflalo and Costa, and there'd be a night where we go, oh, tonight's the night where Costa and Lawson are sitting. Okay. Tonight, Collison and Lawson are sitting. Wow. All right. Now they're trying different things, and I don't know that they're quite there yet, but I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah.
Even though I know the value, I think the veterans are playing the best basketball of the team, but that's the great question. If Mason, Fox, Buddy, Bogey, whatever, Scal, I don't know, got 35 minutes together, what's it look like?
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't good the first time, but that was once.
And I think that's what Kings fans want to see.
Yeah. And maybe we need to see it a few more times to have a better go, oh, it's not good, or no, it'll be okay.
Or you just have to go out there and let them get their ass kicked.
Right.
And
have good things and bad things happen.
There's no way, whether it was Dave Joerger or Vlade Divac, whoever is in charge of resting and starting and all of this, there's no way they made that move against the Wizards believing this team is going to go out and win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they even went out there thinking this team is going to compete. I think they went out there thinking, let's see what they do.
Yeah.
4 minutes into the game, they knew.
Yeah.
And they just kind of had to run with it there at that point. Let's open it up here a little bit. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. James, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks for listening.
Hey, 100% agree. Ball is way ahead of Fox right now. On passing, you know, the shooting's not there, but just defense, everything. Fox is, you know, he lobs the ball around. It gets picked off a lot. He's out of control. You know, I 100% agree with you on that, and I'll probably get roasted for it, too.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's we appreciate you, James, man. Thanks. And that's all right.
I got something else, too.
Sure. Go for it, man.
Buddy Hield's the one that is absolutely driving me insane at night because he doesn't get in the game until 30 seconds left in the first quarter. He plays about half of the second quarter, doesn't get in the game in the third quarter until about a minute left. And then they go to him at the end of the game. I understand they're trying to get everybody playing time, but this guy, he's the best guy on the Kings, except for maybe Randolph's performance right now. There's no doubt that Buddy Hield is their best player on that team right now.
Best young player?
Yeah, best young player.
Because, I mean, Zach Randolph's the best player on the Kings.
No doubt. Zach Randolph, I mean, the Kings probably have two wins without Zach Randolph.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean, James. Hey, we appreciate that, man. Have a fantastic weekend, all right?
Yep, thanks.
All right. It's okay, by the way, to think that Lonzo Ball is good or think that Lonzo Ball is better. That doesn't mean in a year or 2 years. Right. I'm making an observation on right now.
Today.
Right now, 30 games.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, just 28 about games into the season that I think Lonzo Ball is – I know he can't shoot where to damn, but I watch him sometimes, and I watched him last night against the Cavs. Like, I didn't get it at first. And I'll go back to conversations you had watching UCLA. I was like, Jason, I don't quite understand this. And now that I'm watching him, it's like, man, he's really good. He sees the floor better than any rookie since LeBron.
Yeah, and I think what you could say is you could find things that he's excelling at. We could find flaws in Lonzo Ball, but I would ask you this. What is De'Aaron great at right now?
I
We're still waiting.
Fast? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get to the yeah. I
not
can
enough.
I can
he
name, yeah,
utilize that.
Yeah,
enough
I
yet.
Can name I can name a lot of yeah. things he's not great at yet. Hey Tom, thanks for calling. No Tom. Hey Tom. Tom. Sorry Tom, we missed you, buddy. Our apologies. Let's see. Hey, idiots. Is that us?
Yeah.
Is he referring to us?
Yeah.
You're talking about the number two overall pick and the fifth overall pick. Ball should be better. I don't even know why this is even a discussion.
That's interesting.
What?
How many All-Stars are past the fifth? They're all a lot of All-Stars. Giannis was 15th. Kawhi was down there. Steph Curry was 7th.
Are you sure he's talking to us?
Second round All-Stars? Yeah,
it's
probably.
Not very nice.
That's not the way it works.
Jeez.
So, look, I would even ask that texter, them personally, do they think Mason is better than Fox right now?
And yeah, did I
so
think,
that was 34 versus 5.
Yeah. And I think we had that conversation, right? Because I thought that might be too hot.
Right.
Now I feel like I'm just trashing De'Aaron Fox because I'm naming
and
all
that's
these
not
players.
The intent here.
Yeah, now I feel like I'm just naming players that are better than him.
Right.
But, yeah, there's a Frank Mason movement in the city of Sacramento right now.
Right.
He's good. And Kings fans like with it. They love a guy who just goes out there and runs his freaking head into the wall. And
right.
That's what Frank Mason
does. And Fultz
does.
Went one. Is he the best in the draft? He's not right
yeah,
now.
How's that working out?
Right. Come on.
Hey, idiots. My goodness, man. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me, I guess.
Well, we can hear you now, my brother.
You know, my point is when you look at the two teams that are, you know, like the talk of the town, with the 76ers and the Lakers, although the Lakers – really, why they're on TV so much, I don't know. But when you have the second pick in the draft 3 years in a row, and you're in the lottery four times, they had Julius Randle, and the 76ers constantly getting the first or the second pick of the draft, unless we're willing to accept the 10 wins or the 10 to 20 wins, this is not going to change unless you get really lucky, because none of the guys we've drafted have been the, oh, my goodness, look who we ended up with, except for DeMarcus Cousins, and he turned out to be, DeMarcus Cousins. So, unless we're willing to take that 10-win season or 17-win season, like the Lakers have done the last few years when they've been really bad, get that second or first or third pick, I don't know how you get better.
Well, okay, Tom, before you hang up, like, they got the fifth pick.
Yeah.
Is there that big of a drop-off between 3 and 5?
Well, I don't think there's that big of a drop-off. Lonzo Ball, I think Fox eventually will be a good player.
For sure.
I see the same thing you guys do. Right now, I think he's lost. I look at him, I watch him, and I'm like, he can't get anything going. But I'm talking about Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, who they gave up on, but they got value back for him, Julius Randle.
Yeah.
They got really good players with high draft picks. And the 76ers have had the first or second pick forever. It
right.
Like. Even some of those didn't work out.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, hey, Tom, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
Got it, bro.
The draft isn't foolproof, though, Damian. Look about the Warriors. When they won their first championship, their highest draft, well, technically was Bogut, was a 1. But, right, Steph was 7, Klay was 11, Draymond's second round. Their core players were outside of the top 5. That's not foolproof. You still have to draft right.
We're going to take a break from the Sacramento Kings. We're going to talk with Will Graves, cover the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their big game this weekend. Just got a note on Amari Cooper, though. That's official. We'll explain next on the Lowdown. Best part of Friday right there. Will Graves, Associated Press, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to join us here in just a heartbeat. Steelers in New England coming up this weekend. Amari Cooper's out on Sunday. Now, let me add to this. Last Friday, we were on the air, and we got an alert that Amari Cooper was out on Sunday. And somehow, Sunday morning, Amari Cooper was rolled in. But what we got right now is that Amari Cooper is out for Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, which, I give him credit for trying to come back last week, but I think it hurt him for this week.
And yeah, obviously.
This is, both games were important. They lost last week. Now, as we said, this week, you lose, you're out. They may be in trouble anyway, but that's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, you've said this a million times. It's a playoff game, and we'll have that for you, the Cowboys and the Raiders. Coming up on Sunday at 5 o'clock, happy to bring in our friend Will Graves of the Associated Press. Covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
Great.
We're excellent, man. Let's start here. Can a wide receiver win the MVP in the NFL?
It's I was having this discussion today. It's hard just because the guy who throws in the ball so much, gets the credit.
Mm-hmm.
Even Ben Roethlisberger the other day when asked, could Antonio Brown win the MVP? He said, well, he's got a pretty good case. I'm the guy that's throwing it to him all year. So I think I got a pretty good, you know, I got a pretty good idea of what he's doing. So, yeah, it's hard. It's, you know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine who's in town this week for the Boston Globe, and we were talking about this today, and he's like, Mark, you know, a kicker won the MVP, and then, you know, Mark Mosley in 1982. I grew up in the D.C. suburbs. I mean, that was the first year I got into football. I was 8 years old, and, you know, I thought it was normal. You know, I guess 35 years later, it looks like a freak show. But, look, Antonio Brown, and I will say what makes this different than some of the other cases with the Randy Mosses and the Jerry Rices and their great seasons is Ben Roethlisberger has not, until the last month, had a great year. I mean, Antonio Brown, for the better part of the first 7-8 weeks, was the offense. He really, really was. I mean, look at the game, the season-turning moment for this team was in Kansas City. They're coming off a loss against the Jags. Ben throws 5 picks, goes, oh, I wonder if I still have it, right? Which he did not mean, by the way. He was just being, you know, a little bit of a pity party.
Yeah.
You know, it's tight late. They're up 3. It's 3rd and whatever at midfield. Throws it down the sidelines. It hits the defensive back in his hands, pops up in the air. Antonio takes it with one hand, spins around, and runs down the sideline for a touchdown. They haven't lost since. And you could point to a half dozen moments like that. Being at the end of the Green Bay game where he somehow keeps his right foot, you know, right on the boundary and drags the other one to set up the game-winning field goal. I mean, even week one against Cleveland where he goes up in the air on their – nursing a 3-point lead in the last 4 minutes, 3rd and 5, then he's it. AB jumps between 3 guys. Like, I'm a skeptical guy, okay? I hate it when people say, this is the greatest. I mean, I was going on people, they were goat emojiing AB after the Packer game. I can say this, we're doing this long enough. I mean, he is definitely worthy. He is definitely the best receiver in the NFL right now. I'm not going to put him up there with Jerry Rice. And I'm not, I mean, come on. I mean, I think we can have the discussion if they get another great quarterback behind Roethlisberger and he can continue this for another 5 to 7 years, we can maybe have that discussion. But right now, you know, I think it's possible. Wentz is out of the mix. You know, I would imagine, I mean, missing the last 3.5 games of the season is going to hurt his candidacy. He probably would have won it. Brady's having a good year, but not always great, and it's weird. I think this Sunday literally could do it if Brady has a tough game and Brown scores 2 touchdowns and has one of those moments when there's going to be 50 million people watching. I mean, I think it's possible, which is a really long answer to your question.
That's great. Those are the answers we like.
Absolutely. Will, I was curious when you kind of went on the backdrop of what you said about Ben not having a great start to the season, really the last month. But if we look at Ben, we just talked about Brown's value and then Le'Veon Bell. I mean, who of those three is most critical, kind of what they need to have success each week of those three guys? Who's the most important?
You know, it's interesting because it sort of seems to differ on the opponent and the game plan. Like, I've been a pretty harsh critic of Roethlisberger this year. You know, I've been pretty candid. I do some TV in Pittsburgh, and he was not great. And he looked like a guy who was pretty close. And then he started whining, you know, I wish we'd run some more no huddle. Well, he got his wish, and he's been lights out. You know, I think when he plays at his best, he gives them their best chance to win. But, you know, I say that, and we look at what happened last year when they ripped off 9 straight to get the AFC Championship game. They took the ball out of his hand, and they gave it to Bell. And Bell carried them. I mean, you know, the playoff game in Kansas City, he has, 195 yards. I mean, he, you know, the week before that against Miami, he goes off. He had a game against the Bills late in the year where they clinched the playoff spot where he had 230 and a touchdown. You know, I mean, it sort of depends on who you're playing. I mean, what makes this meeting with the Patriots to me different than all the other ones since Le'Veon got here in 2013 is that, I mean, there is like zero, this team has 0 excuses offensively right now. There is, you know, they got boat raced in 13. They lost, gave up 620 yards and lost by 30. You know, they played in the 2015 opener and Bell was suspended. Martavis Bryant was suspended. They played last year in the regular season. Ben was hurt. Bryant was out for the whole year with the suspension. They played in the playoffs. Bell goes out in the second quarter with a groin injury. I mean, they are at as full strength as they can possibly be. And, you know, I think it's going to take all three of them to kind of figure out the Patriots. But this is, I mean, you know, there are no excuses left. I mean, it's interesting to me that the Patriots have kind of treated this like another week, and the Steelers from Mike Tomlin on down are kind of treating this like a Super Bowl. They really, really are. And it's, to me, I think the Steelers have a lot more to lose in this game than the Patriots do. And that's a, you know, I'd say it's almost troubling if I was a Steeler fan.
Will Graves covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Associated Press. I give you Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. You can't have one of them in your Super Bowl run. Which one leaves you most likely to hold up that Lombardi trophy? You have to remove one.
Oh, man.
it doesn't even probably, seem like it works,
probably,
right?
Probably Le'Veon Bell. I mean, which sounds insane. He leads the league in rushing and in touches and, you know, has been every bit the best back in the league, which he says he is, and is going to make a lot of money when he hits the when he gets to March again. But I just think James Conner, their rookie, you can, you know, he's got some talent. I watched him play at Pitt. He's not Le'Veon, but he can do some Le'Veon things. And I will say this, Roethlisberger, when they beat the Ravens last week, Roethlisberger threw it 66 times.
Man.
And wasn't picked off. And he got a lot of guys involved, including Bell, who I think at least Le'Veon had 10 or 11 catches in that game. And James Conner can't do that, but, you know, the drop-off, I think the drop-off, if you're talking about the drop-off in the offense, by if you subtract one, I think it's the smallest if you take Le'Veon Bell out.
Okay.
Well, I'm curious about the stretch they're on. Obviously, they're playing, winning football, winning all these games, but I think six in this win streak have been by 6 points or less. So the important thing is they're winning, but should we have some caution about this that they're not – I mean, they're always in a close game and they find a way to win. That's great, but are they covering up some things or you feel still pretty good about them?
It's weird. Like, they've sort of they've seesawed. You know, I think early in the year, the defense was sort of carrying them. I mean, there was, you know, like 2 or 3 years ago, offensive coordinator Todd Haley came out and said something like, you know, or actually Roethlisberger put words in Todd Haley's mouth and said, well, something to the effect of, well, Todd thinks we should be averaging 30 points a game. Well, they had gone a stretch up through week 7 or 8 this year, where they were one of 5 teams that hadn't scored 30, and like the group included the Browns and the 49ers. The defense was really sort of carrying them. Now the offense, it's sort of flipped the last few weeks. The offense is averaging, 33.5 points, I think, in the last 4 games, which has overcome the fact that the defense has sort of been susceptible to big plays. So, I mean, I don't think that they're frauds. I think, you know, because they are a very good team, but they certainly have an ability to put themselves in tight spots. But they've also shown an ability to sort of overcome them. And they can really, like, get in the team's head. I mean, look what they did to the Bengals. And Bengals lost that game up 17-0. You know, Steelers lose Ryan Shazier. A very emotional and devastating loss. I think the team's still sort of recuperating. They rally and win that game. How do they win that game? They're down, you know, they're down 11 in the fourth quarter at home. They get within 2, and then the Ravens go right back down the field, and you think, okay, the game's over now, and they still find a way to win. I would rather, you know, they're kind of need that resiliency going forward. So I think that's almost, in a way, if you're playing the long game here, it's better to sort of know you have that resiliency than just be that team that crushes people, and then when you get in a tight spot, you're not sure how you're going to react.
Well, who you got this weekend?
You know, I think the Steelers are out of excuses. I think if they cannot beat the Patriots this weekend, they are never going to beat the Patriots. Because I don't think anybody in that locker room thinks that they can go into Foxborough in January and win. Yeah. So, like I said, because I think there's more at stake for the Steelers, and because the offense has figured it out, and the Patriots defense can be susceptible, I think the Steelers will find a way to win. I think it'll be tight. 30-27, somewhere in that range.
And what's amazing is if that happens, they might have to do it again, but beat them in, I guess it'd be at least in Pittsburgh if they meet again later.
Right, that's the irony in this whole thing. Like, this game almost doesn't matter if they play again in January. I mean, it just doesn't. It will have no bearing on what's going to happen then. And if they lose, you know, if the Steelers win on Sunday and then lose to the Patriots in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's interesting, and just to in Pittsburgh here, obviously the hockey team, the Penguins, two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. They have Sidney Crosby, whatever. The Capitals have sort of, the Washington Capitals have been their longtime rivals. And what happens is in the regular season, the Caps will have a couple good games against them. And then the playoffs come and the Penguins just take their heart out and crush it right in front of them. And I think that's sort of a similar way with the Patriots and the Steelers. The Patriots are that team. The Patriots are the team that takes the heart out of the Steelers. So that, all that being said, I think they would like their chances at home, because I think that's what the Steelers, they need, that game needs to be at home, so they need to win this game, and that's why I like.
Before we let you go, do you have an update on Ryan Shazier?
I don't. Look, the team has been very guarded. It's the family's wishes. I can say this. I would not expect to see Ryan Shazier on a football field with a helmet on again. I'm not, and that's me. Look, I want to make sure I don't have real inside information. I mean, I do have a little bit. That would just be, but this is me speculating. I'm not breaking news here in Sacramento.
Yeah,
but that's just me. I just would be very stunned if you ever saw him on a football field again.
I'm fine with that. I'm sure he's not. I am. I feel like the press releases have been very vague. Like, is he walking?
Oh, no.
Is he walking? Is he moving?
There hasn't. Look, they have. My understanding was, in the first couple of days, he did have some feeling and some movement in his lower bodies, but some is, I mean, that's such a vague term, you know, that being said, you know, it's weird after the game, you know, the team FaceTimed with him after the Ravens game on Sunday night. Somebody was Snapchatting, Shazier, Ryan talking to his teammates on the phone, and he's sitting in a chair, and it's a little bit of an awkward position. And like it's the reporter I was sitting next to in the press box, this is what, at 1 o'clock in the morning, we're trying to write. And I'm like, it's like the Zapruder film. I mean, we're trying to, we're trying to break it down, and I hate it. Look, I don't want to speculate. And what sucks is, look, this is as outstanding as a young guy, period. I'm not just a football player, but just everything that you would want, sort of the guy that you view as the face of your franchise, the face of your defense for the next 10 years. I mean, he is everything you would want a professional football player, and just a very decent human being. I mean, he's a young father, he's planning to get married, and it just, I think everybody, you know, it would be, if he walks again, if there's confirmed, like, hey, he's definitely, like, if there's video of, I think everybody would be so happy with that, they just would not care if he played football.
Right, exactly.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. Great stuff as always, Will. Enjoy the game this weekend, my friend.
No problem, guys.
All right, that is Will Graves, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Associated Press. I just had picked up on that looking at their press releases.
Yeah.
Like, this sounds very guarded.
Very secretive.
And very vague, and it's really bothersome. We'll come back. The playoffs technically, or not technically, but sort of kind of do, start tomorrow. We'll explain next. Frank Gore joined Emmitt Smith as the only players in NFL history to record at least 1,000 scrimmage yards in 12 consecutive seasons. Just get the bust ready now. Can we put him in while he still plays?
That'd be kind of cool.
He's like a wonder.
Yeah.
Like, he just continues to
perform every year,
well.
Like, okay, now he can't do it. The Colts don't have much, and he's doing it without any help.
Yeah, imagine if he was on a good team.
Right.
I wonder if he's going to play next year. I wonder how far up that list
year.
He can get.
Yeah.
How far up that list.
Pretty cool.
He can get. Want to thank Will Graves again. If you missed that conversation, download the KHTK app. You can do it for a number of reasons. One, if you download the KHTK app and take a screenshot of you listening to us, you can win tickets to the December 21st doubleheader at the Golden One Center with Kansas versus Stanford and Sac State versus Portland. Take a screenshot. You have till 2 o'clock to do that. Send it to us at JasonRoss1140 and at Damian Barling on Twitter, and we'll enter your name. And the response has been fantastic. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're really, really grateful for that. But there's an on-demand section. You can go back. Great conversation there with Will Graves. Not the update that I was hoping for in terms of Ryan Shazier.
No.
As we had kind of mentioned there, I actually looked at the video the same way he did. When you were because when they showed the video of Ryan Shazier FaceTiming with his teammates, it's like, I feel like this is a very carefully crafted video, and it didn't move past a certain angle. And first press release came out, he's moved back to Pittsburgh. Okay, he's starting rehab. Okay, nothing about lower extremities, right. Nothing about, hey, he's up walking around. Nothing, huh? Okay. I heard Zach Miller was on the Dan Patrick Show this morning describing the injury he had in very specific detail. He says he can't remember the pain. He says he thinks he went into shock when he broke, you know, when he, because they thought they were going to have to amputate his leg. He doesn't remember the pain. He went into shock. He said the one feeling that he remembers is he could feel the blood in his leg like rushing down, like pooling to a certain area. Like he could feel it. It's like, man, what are you thinking? One, how do you know that that's what's happening? And two, what are you thinking when you feel a sensation like that? And he said he knew right away that this wasn't a regular injury. Like, he knew something was really, really wrong. And he told the staff, he said, I have this really weird sensation. Like this, and he explained what he's feeling. And the staff immediately was like, okay, we've got to get him to a hospital right now. Like, get him up, get him out of here, and get him to a hospital. And he's obviously making a recovery as well.
Right.
Which is, I'm sorry, two totally different types of injuries. But
Shazier has just been, you're right, it's, we knew the severity of it, but after that, it was, what's going on? What's the recovery?
Hush. Yeah.
And obviously, there seems to be a plan for why they're doing it that way.
So we did get a text here. I'd love to see Shazier play again, but just knowing he's fine and living a normal life is good to know, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were trying to get at there when we talked to Will Graves of that, at least that last question there to Will, as the Steelers get ready to play the New England Patriots on Sunday. Really the marquee game of the weekend for sure, but there's a lot of good ones with a lot of, I mean, there's playoff implications everywhere. I kind of talked about the schedule yesterday and how it wasn't super sexy, you know, minus a few games, but one upset here, one upset here. I mean, there's playoff seating all over the place. Chiefs and Chargers, it's losers not out, but man, losers got work to do.
Yeah, the records of those two teams aren't amazing, but it does, winners in first. Winners in first place by themselves.
By the way, just so that's a Saturday game.
Right.
So that's tomorrow. Yeah, that's tomorrow. If you're out and about, you're working, you got other plans, don't worry. Turn to 11:40. We'll have the Bears and the Lions. Not nearly as sexy of a matchup, at least not for the Bears. It is for the Lions.
Yeah, they have to win.
Lions got to win out and say some prayers along the way. So we'll have that game at 1 and then the Chargers and the Chiefs at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we still have a lot of teams in the playoff equation. The Lions could be eliminated. You're right. The Chargers, Chiefs, losers not out. Winners in better shape. And if it is the Chargers to win at Arrowhead, from 0-4 to first place with 2 weeks to go would truly be amazing. So Raiders will keep their eyes certainly on that game to see what's going on. And then they need to worry about themselves because that game is important. You got Seattle and the Rams. I mean, there's just a lot of games that have significant impact on what the postseason could look like.
Now, that's not a play-in game, but that is definitely a play-out game.
Yeah.
The Raiders and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. We'll have that game for you shortly after Kings basketball on Sunday. But, yeah, loser's out. There's just no way around it. There aren't enough games to make it up. The loser is out. The winner is not in.
Not at all.
The winner has some work ahead of them. Yeah, but the Raiders, like Raider fans, and I'm sure you all know this by now, Raider fans, you're Charger fans this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much it pains you to cheer for the Los Angeles Chargers. You're going to have to cheer for them this week.
Yeah.
Because we've talked all year about how awful the attendance has been for Los Angeles football. And we've talked all year about how that week 17 game, we thought 4 weeks into the season that the game was, it was just going to be meaningless. It was just going to be an embarrassing moment for the NFL when Raider fans overtake the stadium in Los Angeles. Well, now there's a very good chance that game is going to be for the division. And can you imagine that Los Angeles stadium being filled with Raider fans?
I know, and that's why if we're in here on Monday talking about a Raiders Sunday night win and a Saturday night win by the Chargers, that would be the Raiders' perfect weekend. But it also could be a Monday we're coming in here saying, what happened?
Yep.
This was supposed to be a season building off 12-4, a loss to the Cowboys. They are now out. They can't win. I mean, it's such a swing of what we could be talking about with this team come Monday. And now officially Amari Cooper being out. Honestly, I don't know how much that derails him. I don't like the sound of it, but because he hasn't been that much of an impact, but he's out officially this weekend.
We shouldn't gloss past the Raiders Week 16 game.
Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care that
in Philly on Christmas.
Yeah, I don't care that Nick Foles is the quarterback. Like, they're playing Philadelphia, who, until they show me otherwise, they're still a really good football team, and we'll see how Nick Foles. That's a That's a sneaky big game this weekend. J. Ross and I will give you our picks that you can absolutely bet against and should if you're going to bet at all. Don't bet on what we say. But we'll have our Friday Five at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Garrett Temple will be with us at 2:30. J. Ross got a mystery game coming up here in about 35 minutes, but we'll stick with the Raiders and the Cowboys as Drew Davidson of the Star Telegram joins us next as we kick off hour number two of the Lowdown.